the streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me
home. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the hottest radio show worldwide, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Tonight, we got a great show tonight. We got the real Freeway Rick Ross on the show tonight, and we got the great writer, Kathy Scott, on the show tonight. So we're going to break off into a song and a commercial, and we're going to wait for them to come online. Stay tuned.
The hottest. Newspaper in Arizona. Buckeye Valley News. If you like to advertise, contact Sharon at 623-386-4426. That's 623-386-4426. And say, The Streets Don't Love You Back sent you.
It's the book release by author Donna Buchanan. The name of the book, Second Chance Running, will be released in paperback and on ebook on September the 30th, 2013. It's a powerful story to learn from. Released from prison July 4th, 2013, she is now educating our youth and others after spending 13 years in prison. She is a member of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, ran by Rob and Lucinda Boyd. She became a member while in prison. For more information, go to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com.
Greetings. I'm G.I. Johnson, California's Political Prisoner of the Year. I was shot by the police and framed and set up. I need your help and assistance as I fight for justice. Please visit my website at freegiproject.org and sign the online petition. This petition drive is intended to have an investigation of facts into the cover-up of this police wrongful shooting. With this petition, we shall bring awareness and vindication to Free GI. So please visit freegiproject.org and sign the online petition and pass it on to family and friends on Facebook and Twitter and all social media as we join to Free GI. FreeGIProject.org. Thank you very much.
Day to struggle, you know what I'm
constant
saying?
Struggle, you know?
Constant struggle.
I get it. I understand that, you know? Gotta keep moving on the
day. You know?
You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle. Every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try.
See, everybody first went broke like me. Wish that I could ball like them ballers on the street. Living that everyday life. Made me take a step back, look at myself and check mine. Now I ain't leaving till I get my head. Trying to keep the distance between that hate and greed. Murder, between Satan and me. And all them problems that it come with, it's more than one need. Me, been the rest of mathematics on them all. Put your hands up, drop your bag when you out them all. Send it back to the block. Big money grip, still hungry for them chips. Don't make me flip. Car your frame with the diamond chip. I just bought a new whip. Can it paint it double dip. Every day's a hustle. I'm trying to get it, trying to bubble. It's my life and my struggle.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle.
Stress in my eyes, 15 to 25, yet still I rise. And I'm black and proud. My people say it loud. Walking like I talk and hold your head above the clouds and smile. Never let them see you sweat, I bet. The streets is always watching, catch you slipping, chicken hawking. Shami's out here walking, listen to the music. If you pay attention, I'll show you how to use it. I flip flow.
goes on shows like life is so abusive. Adapt and overcome the struggle like how he do it.
I
prove it. Showing the world I am a king. Sing to the rhythm, my queen. This is your dream. Man in the building, example for all to see. Life can be a bitch. Keep stroking until you ski. Stand on your own, keep fighting and never leave. Foundation is the knowledge I'm kicking. We're gonna bleed.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle, every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try, life is just a story that someone has to tell. You're living in this struggle, every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try.
I sat in an empty apartment. I found a 9mm under the kitchen sink, and I stuck it up to my head, and I was ready to pull the trigger and ready to die. You know, I knew what I made of my life was a living hell. My name is Joe, and I'm 20 years old. I'm from Apache Junction, Arizona, and I started using meth when I was 16. I was doing about 8-ball a day, and it was terrible. It was lonely, you know, being out using it was lonely because all the friends that you had before, and they want nothing to do with you, and I pulled my oldest brother into it, got him wrapped up and involved in it, and, you know, the first time he tried it, he was hooked. You don't realize that it's not only hurting yourself, but it's hurting everybody around you. I look back now, I mean, everything I said that I didn't want to be is what I turned out to be, because I know how bad I was, and I know how many people I've hurt around me. I know that that's not something that I'm wanting to do again.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
This guy that we knew, we gave him some meth and he went to shoot it up, and he died. We left his house and a few weeks later we found out that killed him. Like, he was up in his room and his dad went up there and he was dead. My name is Bob. I'm 16 years old. I started doing meth when I was 9. And I regret when I was on meth giving it to little kids, like 12-year-olds and stuff, selling it to them. I regret, like, helping cook it. My little brother sees it, like, when I'm doing it. He sees it sometimes, and I think he doesn't know what it is, but I think he thinks it's, like, a cool thing to do, and got to be grown up to do it. I tell him how bad it is, and tell him that it really ain't that cool, and just try to explain to him that it's not fun, that it'll ruin his life.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back Worldwide Show. And we got the great writer, Ms. Kathy Scott, on the line right now. We're waiting for Freeway to call in, and we're going to put on the line right now. How you doing, Ms. Scott? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. How are you? Are you waiting for Mr. Ross to call in?
Yes, yes. He said he's going to try to call in tonight. As we both know, since you and him completed the book, it's been a nonstop going on promotion with him.
Yeah, he's on a national tour right now.
Yes. So, Ms. Scott, I want to ask you, can you let the viewers know how did you get into writing? I want to go start there first, and we'll lead up to Freeway's book. But how did you get into writing, and let them know about some of your books that's out?
Okay, well, I always enjoyed writing, and, you know, I majored in art in college and only went for 2 years. I ended up going back and got my degree. I was a secretary for a utility company, and they gave me a buyout. They paid for my education before that, finished my bachelor's, and I wanted to break into journalism. I'd been volunteering for a project down at the beach where I lived in San Diego, and met some reporters and talked to them about breaking in, and they faked my way into the business and started at very small newspapers and worked my way up to dailies. And then my first book was in 19, started writing it, as most everybody knows, in 1996 when Tupac Shakur was shot. The Killing of Tupac Shakur came out in 1997 on the anniversary of the shooting of his death, actually. I was a reporter at the Las Vegas Sun when he was shot, so that's how it was on my beat. That's what I covered was crime, and that's how I got into the crime writing for books. And Freeway Rick Ross, the autobiography, is my 10th book. I wrote the Murder of Biggie Smalls 6 months after the Tupac book. One book does lead to another, especially if they're similar genres. And I'll keep writing about the two of them, you know, until the murders are solved, you know. So, but and I've had books in between. I've written about the mob and everything else, but I love writing about crime. Including drugs. So that's how, you know, then it came to Freeway's book.
Yeah, that's great because when I seen that you was working with my homeboy Freeway, I started looking into your background and see that you had did a lot of great books and a lot of journalists on a lot of different great things that a lot of people is really scared to touch up on, you know, whether they're journalism or whether they're just a regular person on the street. A lot of people is intimidated to touch on the lifestyle that we all come from the hood be living, you know, but they touch up on a lot of other things. And that's a question I want to ask you. How do you feel as a journalist going down in these certain areas in the trenches, as I call them, where we come from, and actually seeing this hands-on, you know?
Well, 1990-91, what year was it, the Rodney King verdict? With the photographer, I was down there for 2.5 days nonstop. We didn't go to bed. We didn't, you know, we were up. There was martial law, and the only ones out on the street were police, fire, and reporters. And so that, and the next time I went into, next time I went into Compton and watched was when I went with Freeway Rick. So it's been a few years. But, you know, you cover the story, you do whatever. I mean, we got surrounded. You know, we were actually, somebody started rocking our car when we were down there covering the watch riot. But so I don't, I mean, I've been to homicide scenes, you know, as a reporter, I've been to way too many of those. And so I've been all over, you know, good neighborhoods and bad neighborhoods. I've been in San Diego and in Las Vegas and in L.A. So it wasn't anything new to me. As far as Rick's book, though, and going behind the scenes with the, you know, the day-to-day operation, you know, of his business, you know, his drug business, I found absolutely fascinating. It's unbelievable stuff. You can't make it up. And so I was just taken by the story. They came to me. You know, he's got a few people behind him, and they came to me a couple of years ago before it actually all came to work. But it was fun working on it with him. We talked, you know, almost every day and sometimes two and three times a day and interviewing him. I interviewed his family and his homeboys and cousins and everybody else. And it's a fascinating story. I mean, it's life. It happened. And I actually met Gary Webb, you know, who interviewed Rick in prison, and he was the one who broke the story. And I had dinner with Gary, actually, after the series came out.
And how did he, propel to it after it finally came out and you and him finally had a chance to sit down and talk?
Well, Gary died, you know, that they say he killed himself, but it was with two bullets. So, you know, I think the jury's still out on that one. But we talked about, I met him at a Society of Professional Journalists conference, and his editors were with him, and it was before his paper backed down. Someone got to them, and they backed away from him, and it basically ruined his career. And But we talked about the story. I congratulated him. I mean, everybody in journalism, it was a major story, and everybody knew about it. So it was quite an honor to meet him. Just a regular guy, a reporter, very humble, but we had a nice conversation. And it was career-changing in a lot of ways to break his story. The guy should have won a Pulitzer instead of everybody running him out of the business. And then apologizing and going, oh, wow, the story was right. Should have won a Pulitzer Prize for that.
Yeah, and I agree with that too, Ms. Scott, because, you know, back in them days, everybody wanted to throw a rug over things, you know. Nobody wanted to look at hands-on and look at the whole problem ahead, you know. And nobody also wanted to look at that the FBI, the regular police, the DEA, all them cats be getting paid off. You know what I mean? It's more corruption at the top, the middle, and the bottom than it is with the drug dealer themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, And while Rick was no angel because he did do that, you know, he was trying to make a living. And I mean, I'm not excusing him or anything because with time, of course, he knew what the side effects to crack cocaine were. But he was making a living, and but the people who were funding the Nicaraguan Contras and all of that stuff, and Oliver North and everybody else, even Reagan, everybody else who was involved, the DEA, the CIA, who goes to jail? One guy. And it's the guy who comes up out of the ghetto. You know, he's their token guy to go to prison, and and thank goodness he was smart enough to not just accept a life sentence and fight it and get his sentence reduced. You know, he'd still be in prison. You know, they love it. Yeah, now he's off parole, as you know, so it's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, and it's so great. I want to congratulate you, like I said, for reaching out to Rick even after they reached out to you. Over them couple of years that you reached back at him eventually and got this story out there, because I think the story is very compelling, not just for the youth, but for adults to understand as well on how this thing go that they always
Thank
say,
you.
The jungle and the ghetto. So we wanted to give you big ups here on the show for that as well. And,
well, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a heck of a story. And it's a heck of a story. And I think that it needed to be told, but it's something we've all written about it, but all we get are the standard stories. You know, you get a reporter who kind of scratches a little, but you don't get, I mean, this is seedy and this is life and this is how it went down. It's comical too at times. I mean, I love the caper and him, you know, being chased by the police and they couldn't get him. What'd it take? Five years?
They couldn't catch him for a long time.
And they had the freeway wreck. They had a whole task force and they didn't even have a photo of the guy. They had him in a room with him and they didn't know it was him. They were at the courthouse with him and they didn't know it was him. It was hilarious. So, you can't make that stuff up. He was smart and cagey and, you know, a heck of a head on his shoulders.
Regular guy.
Yep.
That took it to a whole nother level. And see, that's what I want to talk to you about too, Ms. Scott. From your point of view of reading, writing, and being a journalist, I think that when they start putting the drugs in the ghetto, they didn't realize that we will find a way how to turn this thing into a $1 million thing, because everybody ain't getting high in the hood. You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a believer that they were infiltrating the black community. It happened to be the Nicaraguan drug dealer, drug supplier happened to, you know, hook up with Rick, and then Rick on his own, you know, through that guy did it. So it inadvertently ended up saturating, you know, that area, of course. And, he was an equal opportunity drug dealer. He sold to all races, all occupations, he sold to lawyers and everybody else. Yeah, it wasn't like just, you know, the black community. It was equal opportunity.
Yeah, drugs have no color on it. You know,
exactly.
If you get high, you're going to get high. You know what I mean? If you're spending money, you're going to spend money. And A lot of people always try to say that, you know, where it's this is that. No, no. Everybody from all nationalities use drugs at some point in frame of game.
Yeah, and they drive into the hood to get
out
it.
There.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, and it was amazing, you know, the whole process. And then he turned it into a business. He ran it like a business. I mean, it was street business, but he ran it like it. He put a lot of people to work, you know, in the
like
community.
Like a 5-Fortune 100 company.
Yeah, and he had, you know, when he gave back to the community, I mean, the church knew where the money was coming from, but, you know, he bought the church all brand new pews. I mean, how much did that cost? And they accepted it.
Right.
You know, people knew. Yeah. And at the same time, it's in the book, you know, one of his homeboys, his mother needed surgery, open heart surgery, and she didn't have the money, and he gave her son $40,000, and it paid, you know, or the hospital, or whatever, and it paid for his mother's surgery. And so, he gave back to the community in a lot of ways. You know, he harmed the community, and he's the first to say it and acknowledge it. You know, he obviously did harm the community, but he also gave back. I mean, it's kind of the times, you know. It's just a different time and a different, you know.
Different era.
I mean, a different era. And it just was, you know, he was a kid. I mean, the Los Angeles School District let him down something fierce. I mean, how does a kid who's in tennis and he's bright, how in the heck does he get out? Go all the way through, including a private school, and shame on them too, early on.
Right.
How do you push a kid year after year and he gets out of it? Can't even read or write. He could barely, his name and his address, and he couldn't read it though. You know, it didn't make sense to him, but he memorized the letters. So how does that happen? In the 80s? How in the heck did that happen?
Exactly.
You know,
they just pushed the kid through the loop, and they had been doing that, Ms. Scott, for years to kids, you know. And it all came out with Rick's story, you know. So when a story come out and people really tell the story like you and Rick told it from a real point of view, then people can get the understanding from all angles of the game and look at it and say, wow, this ain't what I want to do.
Yeah, he takes you in.
This right here is what happened.
Oh, he takes you in. He takes you in the hallways at school, and he takes you into some of the worst low-income housing projects there are. And even he was afraid to be in some of them. You know, so, I mean, there are hardcore gang members in there. And I mean, he takes you, I mean, behind the scenes, and, you know, they're running from the police out of holes in the wall that they put in, you know, in the money counting room. And they're driving the money around, you know, and down to, you know, the cops on the street and pulling him over on a freeway. You know, police department doesn't have jurisdiction on a freeway, but yet they pull him over. And if they pulled him over, they didn't know it was him. But I think the nitty-gritty and the, it's real, like you said, it's real. I mean, this happened, and he takes you – it's a window into that world that no one's ever seen before.
Exactly.
And, he's honest. He embarrasses himself in it, you know. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't always look good in what he wrote.
Yes, yes.
Don't you agree?
So what I want you to do, Ms. Scott, is give the people your website, because you got other great books out. And name a few of them and give them your website to go purchase your book and the website to purchase Freeway book.
Oh, thank you. Amazon.com is, both all my books are there. The Rick Ross book is there. It's also Rick Ross, the book, .com. You can go there, but you can buy it on Amazon. And me as well, I'm KathyScott.com. I think he's freewaystudios.com. I'm not sure. There's so many websites, I can't get them all straight. But freewayrickthebook.com is a good one, too. And then, of course, Amazon's an easy one. Everybody can go there. Just look up Freeway Rick Ross, The Untold Autobiography, or my name or his name, and it'll come up. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it on Nook. And you can get it in paperback. And then my Death in the Desert, the Ted Binion homicide case, Murder in Beverly Hills, about a mobster's daughter who was murdered. That's unsolved as well. And The Killing of Tupac Shakur, that just came out in third edition, so it's got all the latest in, you know, this still unfortunate, unsolved crime, even though we know who did it.
Amen for that. You know, any shout-outs you would like to give anybody, Ms. Scott?
No, I just, you know, it was a pleasure working with Rick, and, you know, I count him as one of my friends, and he's a great guy, and I enjoyed working with him.
It sounds great, and I know you're a busy lady, Ms. Scott, and we want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to have you on our show tonight, and Rick eventually call in. Like I said, we know he's out there moving and grooving with his new book, and we are blessed to have Ms. Scott to come in tonight and speak tonight. And
I really
thank
appreciate
you
it.
For all your work you do. And
thank you.
Have a great night, and have a good one, Ms. Scott, and thank you for coming
on. Thank you. My pleasure. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Yo, this your man T-Rob, the Quiet Giant, and you are listening to The Streets Don't Love You Back with Rob and Lucinda Boyd. We Global Blunt Entertainment Universal, baby. Don't forget that, you.
The Streets Don't Love You Back movement presents Stand Up Arizona, an anti-gang, drug, violence, and abuse awareness conference this September 6, 2014. From 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Arizona Event Center, 1300 South Country Club, Mesa, Arizona, 8521. For information on platinum, gold, silver, and bronze sponsorship package, ticket prices, and vendor tables, contact Rob Boyd at 513-371-0982 or email thestreetsdontlikeyoubackatgmail.com or Lucinda Boyd at 520-705-0057 or email LucindaBoyd, RN, at gmail.com or visit the website at www.thestreetsdontlikeyoubackatgmail.com. Yes, it's the Streets Don't Love You Back movement presenting Stand Up Arizona, the Anti-Gang, Drug Violence, and Abuse Awareness Conference this September the 6th, 2014 from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's all going down at the Arizona Event Center, 1300 South Country Club, Mesa, Arizona, 85210.
So don't turn out and stand up, Arizona.
Open up the door to nothing but smiles. Richard and famous been gone for a while. Blessed to see the kids doing real good. We on a tradition, we still knocking on wood. Got a pocket full of change for the fountain for the wishing. Mateen Cleaver in the kitchen. Black mama strike quicker than switch flips. Got to go on to the wrist when the lip slips. Live till you get old. Have fun, your young soul. Button up your coat, this world is cold. Don't bar nobody. It was only one guy. One king of the Jews, and that's slick. Boosie told Celeste, don't take no ish. In this world, intermediate won't do. So I love the girls walk around with their snow boots and their glasses. Stay cute.
I used to think that I was happy. I was just lying to myself, yeah. Really believe no one would have me, yeah. So put my poor heart on.
down, trust him for me. Friend to the end, plus kin, that's the key. Dance with your heart, move your body to the beat. We family in here, nobody clown your feet.
Walking girl,
walking girl,
I say, look at that sexy And tell me, do you wanna ball my people? falling out of control. Do what you need to do, be what you need to be. Fall out of control and here where you need to be. But fall out of control for real. Fall out of control and do successful things for real. Just fall out of control, my friend. Just fall out of control. Just get to the finish line, go. But fall out of control. I'm falling out of control. I'm going to where I need to be, my people. Doing the things I should. If you're going with me, my people, we got a ball out of control. We gotta take it to the top, my people.
Book release by author Donna Buchanan. The name of the book, Second Chance Running, will be released in paperback and on ebook on September 30th, 2013. It's a powerful story to learn from.
released from prison July 4, 2013. She is now educating our youth and others after spending 13 years in prison. She is a member of the Streets Don't Love You Back movement, ran by Rob and Lucinda Boyd. She became a member while in prison. For more information, go to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. That's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome right back here to the hottest radio show worldwide. And we're having a great, great show tonight. And we want to remind everybody, September the 5th, right here in Maricopa, Arizona, we will be having a meet and greet at Native New Yorker. And we will have the real Freeway Rick Ross there. We will have superstar hip-hop rapper Snoop Dogg Mother, evangelist Beverly Broadus Green will be there. We will have author Donna Buchanan there, among a lot of other great people. And the next day will be our major event in Mesa, Arizona, at the Arizona Event Center. And it's going down, you know. We're educating our kids and adults against gangs, drugs, violence, and abuse. It's a conference that you don't want to miss. Log on to our website, www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com, for more information. And if you would like tickets, you can go to www.azeventcenter.org. If you're right here in Maricopa, you can reach out to me or my wife, and you can hit us on the email at thestreetsdontloveyouback@gmail.com. And we're looking to have a great, great event and touch some hearts, some minds, and souls, and we're going to be looking to have a great, great time. We got a few more minutes, and I just want to thank my beautiful, lovely wife for always being down and always promoting and educating and doing all great things with the movement. And we're going to go to another song, and we're going to come back, and then we're going to make a few more announcements, and then we're going to close it out. Thank you so much. Be right back.
Cooney, never say die.
See ya. It's a fair warning. We ain't never told you life is gonna be this hard. Life is what you make, you can take it as it is. See, the only thing promised to us is death. So until that day, y'all niggas just gotta live y'all life. Blunny and T, Inglewood Monster, DJ Goonie, by the way.
Stay above water.
Green this motherfucker turned up.
Can't let them drown y'all here, man.
Big fish, small pond. Inglewood Monster, let the niggas know what time it is.
Hold up, smoking weed under city lights. Young killers, a murker nigga for city stripes. What's the purpose in pressing the big homies? You do the 25 years all by your lonely. I guess you never know where that diploma would have got you. Maybe scholarships to an Ivy League college. Could have been first class on a full ride, but you set up for a trial date on a homicide. Seems like the hood has always been a hot topic, but if you're really from the hood, you're trying to get about it. We ducking feds and you busters ducking paparazzi. Surrounded by hoes, dope fiends, and alcoholics. It's invested, I'm swimming in a cesspool. Just another street confession, learning a lesson or two. And these days everybody wanna be a G, but only real G's knowing shit up in these city streets. Except a death sentence or a life sentence. So much pain you bury your whole life in it. I spill blood and tears up on the paper and reflect over the years as I'm riding in my scraper. She could have been another America's top model, but she decided to swallow it in a vodka bottle. He could have been the next athlete to take flight, but he shot it in needles and smoked it out of crack pipes. It's a dirty game, so I stay super clean. Boy, it's a cold world, it'll make you spit clean. They say it's dark as hell, and they say hell hot. And they got souls for sale, I guess they selling out. The temptation is so compelling, they rebelling out. Not concerned about the future, just about the here and now. Streets is detrimental, it'll cripple any dream. My young-minded mental would've went for anything. Easily influenced, just like them these days. I used to walk blind, but now I see straight. I wish I never had to walk a road the streets paved. I got to see it all, and y'all got to eat safe. I'm on my knees thanking God just to see the morning. Just consider this verse to be a fair warning.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the hottest radio show worldwide. Like I said, if you have not got that book by Donna Buchanan, Second Chance Runaway, you can Google her name up, and you can go to lulu.com, which you'll get all the information. If you have not got author Evangelist Beverly Broaddus Green book, Real Love 2, you can Google her name up and go cop that book. And if you have not got the Streets Don't Love You Back book, you can Google my name up, Rob Boyd of the Streets Don't Love You Back, and you can get that as well. And you can also get our book, Never Hit a Woman. And tonight I want to give my beautiful wife a big shout-out for editing four books. And she has four books up under her belt that she has edited and put out there to the world, and that is The Streets Don't Love You Back, Never Hit a Woman, Donna Buchanan's book, Second Chance Runaway, and Mother Green's book. Thanking everybody for tuning in tonight. And like I said, if you have not logged on and got involved with our movement, educating our kids against gangs, drugs, and violence and abuse, please log on www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com. And I see a lot of challenges going on with the ice bucket and this and that. That's all great. But, you know, my challenge is for parents around the world to educate their kids from day one against gangs, drugs, violence, and abuse, and start letting them know from a very young age they can be anything they choose to be. They just need educated from day one and not out here in the streets and someone else educating them the wrong way. So that's my challenge to parents around the world, you know. So without that being said, we're going to say have a great night. Always remember, the streets don't love you back, and we will see you back here next week. Take care, and we're going to go out with this one more commercial. Thank you.
The Streets Don't Love You Back movement presents Stand Up Arizona, an anti-gang, drug, violence, and abuse awareness conference this September the 6th, 2014, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Arizona Event Center, 1300 South Country Club, Mesa, Arizona, 8521. For information on platinum, gold, silver, and bronze sponsorship package, ticket prices, and vendor tables, contact Rob Boyd at 513-371-0982. Or email thestreetsdontlikeyouback@gmail.com. Or Lucinda Boyd at 520-705-0057. Or email lucindaboyd@gmail.com. Or visit the website at www.thestreetsdontlikeyouback.com. Yes, it's the Streets Don't Love You Back movement presenting Stand Up Arizona, the Anti-Gang, Drug Violence, and Abuse Awareness Conference. It's September the 6th, 2014, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's all going down at the Arizona Event Center, 1300 South Country Club, Mesa, Arizona, 85210.
So don't turn up, turn out, and stand up, Arizona.